particular shir is the mechazek our emuna and my emuna. And theoretically, if you're going to meet some random guy, give you ammo. Lots of different ways of approaching how I would approach someone who wasn't yet a believer in Torah and mitzvahs, okay? And maybe even some unorthodox ways of, in which I personally would try to convince people of the truth and veracity of Torah and mitzvahs. So one of the arguments which I would use is called the mezuzah and tefillin argument. What do I mean by that? There are many, many wild stories about the spiritual power of mezuzot and tefillin. Now, for someone inside like us, you may have heard that a million times. And you say, yeah, of course, we know that mezuzot are spiritually powerful. But from an outsider, they would be like, what? That's crazy talk. And then if I could convince them that that's actually true, then if they were going to be honest with themselves, if they're going to be rational, they would have to ask themselves, wait, if that's true, so then maybe... And they would have to ask themselves, hey, maybe there is something to all these Torahs and mitzvahs and the... Not just the miracles, but also the fact that there's spiritual power in these mitzvahs. There must be something into the Torah's mitzvahs. Maybe it's worth looking more into this, because otherwise, how the heck would we explain the spiritual power behind things like the mezuzot and tefillin? So let's start with this story. Where's the concept that mezuzot protect us? Where do we get that whole idea from? So what do you guys think? Where do we get that idea from? Pesach, with the dam of the mashkof, which is protecting us from the angel that was going to... That's not explicitly talking about the mezuzah, but that's kind of like the pre for the mezuzah. Interestingly enough, when I was in Zimbabwe, they literally still do that. On the night before Pesach, they take the blood from the ram that they sacrificed that night, and they put it on their doorpost as a zecher. Maybe the Shomronim do the same thing. But actually, there's a Gemara in Yerushalmi in Bepeah, which says that Rebbe was friends with the Caesar. I forgot his name, but the Caesar. He was also friends with Antonius, but I think this is a different Caesar. And he gives him...
Seriously?
Friendly. With Antonius, he was friends. But he was friendly with this person. And the Caesar gives him a gift of a diamond, of a beautiful, beautiful diamond. He says, I want you, the Jews, to give me a gift too. So Rebbe gives him a mezuzah.
A mezuzah cover.
No, but an actual mezuzah. An actual mezuzah. So the Caesar's like, this? I can pick that up for like, it used to be $20. Now maybe it's $50. But the point is, not that expensive. I give you a diamond, you give me a $50 thing, I'm the king. What's up, shot? He's not happy. He says, no, the difference is, your diamond, I have to now protect it. I have to hire someone to watch over it. And this mezuzah is going to watch over you. So that's the end of the Yerushalmi. But then the Shiltos tells the end of the story. That a shade went into the daughter of the Caesar, and then they put up the mezuzah, and the shade went away. Shall we learn? Shomer daltot Yisrael, that the mezuzah is a spiritual power, and from the Yerushalmi. Now, this concept is brought down by many, many Rishonim, and it's particularly stressed by the Zohar, by the Arizal, by the Kabbalists, that when you put up a mezuzah, it protects you. It spiritually protects you. It can get rid of shadim. It gets rid of spiritual energy, negative energy. It mamish watches over you. And lehefech, if you don't have a proper mezuzah up, or if you're wearing tefillin, which is not done properly, not only is it not kosher, it's obviously the main issue, but it can actually has a physical, tangible effect upon a person.
So you're saying the Gemara says that the reason why Shin Dalet Yud is...
A man puts a tefillin on, and then he puts on tzitzis, and then he walks out of his door and he passes the mezuzah. The four holy angels join him and issue with him from the door of his house and accompany him to the synagogue and say, give honor to the image of the holy king. And a holy spirit rests on him and proclaims, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. So when I walk out with my tefillin, Emetitis. Through the mezuzahs, I have four holy angels. I guess that symbolizes the four names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which protect. I don't know. Stories? But I think stories are very, very important, especially because I'm not telling you stories from 500 years ago when I don't have a name and you can't trace it back. I'm telling you stories from today. Stories that you could look up online. You go on the GEM website, the Chabad website. You could see the people retelling the stories. Stories from Mordechai Eliyahu's book where you have the names of the people today. You can literally look them up today. And that, to me, is an extremely legitimate source of information. The same way if I were to put someone on a trial and bring 10 people, we're going to bring 10 different stories and say that Ariel is a bank robber and he stole the money, they're going to throw him to jail. And you're not going to say, oh, it's just a story. Yeah, but if 10 people are saying the same story and it's verifiable, so I'm going to take that story more seriously.
It's a conspiracy to the bank.
It's a conspiracy, but I think it's much more likely that it's true if many people are saying the same stories. So now I'm going to start telling you stories.
Yes.
And his daughter was having hearing issues. What happened? She took a Q-tip, and she was very small, and she put it through her. She punctured her ear. That's why it's illegal to use Q-tips in some countries. But in any case, she was not hearing well, so they had surgery twice. And she was still not hearing well, and they didn't know what to do. So they went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, you know what you got to do? Check your mezuzahs. Check your mezuzahs. They checked their mezuzahs. So here's the fun part. Guess which word?
Shema.
The whole mezuzah was perfect, but the word Shema in Shema Yisrael was missing completely. There was no Shema.
Blank Yisrael?
So they switched the mezuzah. They got a kosher mezuzah. And miraculously, she started hearing fine, no surgery, no nothing. Unbelievable. It's a true story. Look it up on the GEM website, and you'll see the man retelling the stories. Okay, story number two. There was an Avreich. His name is Binyamin Wertzheimer, and he was having eye problems. He had a blood clot. He was not seeing well, and he was scheduled to have an operation to repair his eyes. But a few days before the operation, one of his friends said, before you have the operation, I want to save you some money. Check the mezuzahs. Right? He had heard these stories. Check the mezuzahs. They checked the mezuzahs. This story is confirmed by Rav Lipchitz of Antwerp. He wrote this story down to Mechazik people's Amuna. And guess, here's the fun part of the shir. Guess where there was a problem in the mezuzah? Bein Einechem. Rit Temetem would have been a good guess, but no. Bein Einechem. I think Oritemetom is in Tefillin. It's not in Mezuzah, if I remember correctly. Between the eyes, there was a problem. Gevalt, he sent this letter with the missing yud in the words Bein Einechem to many people, to Mechazek Deramuna. They switched the mezuzah, and his eyes miraculously healed. No need for surgery. Unbelievable. Okay? Yep. Story number three. Hopefully it is believable, because I'm telling you a lot of stories. Hopefully you'll believe me.
I'm going to go with unbelievable.
Believable, not unbelievable, yet true. Okay, story number three. This one's brought down in the deer shoe. So it's legit. It's for real. Okay, so the man who had no kids, he went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and the Heiliger Rav Chaim says, check your mezuzahs. Maybe the reason you're having problems is because you didn't check your mezuzahs. So what did he do? He checked his mezuzahs, he went to Seifer, no problems. So he goes back to Rav Chaim and says, what do I do? Rav Chaim says, I don't know, so go daven. So he went home and he says, listen, Rav Chaim told me I should check my mezuzahs, I'm going to ignore him. He went to another cipher and he checked it again. Sometimes a different cipher of new eyes. He checks it again. Two mezuzahs were puzzle. He switched the mezuzahs. 9 months and 4 days later, they had a baby boy. Gevalt. In the deer shoot, story number three. Okay, story number four. At the end, I'm going to quiz you. Which story was the most powerful? So there was a man who comes to the hospital, one of the hospitals here in Israel. I forget which one. And he is diagnosed with atzavim. What's atzavim?
Atzavim.
He's got nerves. He's jittery. He's depressed. He's sad. And They examine them. They don't know what the problem is. So the doctor was a religious doctor, and he says, check your mezuzahs. So this guy says, check your mezuzahs. Shalom, shalom. You're coming to learn? Okay, so come right here. Here, you're welcome to... The doctor says, check your mezuzahs. So the guy is like, I'm going to check my mezuzahs. It's expensive to check mezuzahs. Right? You have to bring it to the sofer, and you have to find the right sofer to check. So I said, I'm not going to check my mezuzahs. So the doctor's Italian. He says, you know what? I'll check your mezuzahs. The truth is, it's not that complicated. Anyone who can read Hebrew, you take down the mezuzah, you open up the scroll, you make sure the letters look like letters, and you make sure the letters are not attached one to the other, and he checks his mezuzahs. Okay? And this is what he found. Instead of it saying, V'natati eitz esev v'sadecha, and Hashem will bless you with grass in your fields, what did he find? They made a mistake. They switched it to eitzev be'enacha. I'm going to put atzabim. I'm going to put nerves in your eyes. So he switched the mezuzah, and amazingly enough, he stopped having all the issues, and he stopped having nerves, and he got better. So this is a story that this doctor, the religious doctor, told over every, I guess they have a once a month amunashir in the hospital. So he told this story to Rav Zilberstein. Okay, so that's story number 4. Now Rav Zilberstein said, you think that's a great story? I'm going to tell you story number 5. Okay, so now we're up to story number 5. So Zilberstein said there was a moshav down south that was having rain issues. They were having issues. They were not getting enough rain for their crop. I guess they didn't have drip-drop irrigation there. They didn't have the money. And they said, what do? We tried everything. The rain was coming. All the nearby yeshuvim were having rain, but only in that particular place, no rain. So at this point in the shir, you could probably guess, what did the rabbis suggest they do? Check the mezuzahs. Check the mezuzahs. So in the entrance way to the yeshuv, to the moshav, right, like by the shin gimel, they had mezuzahs. Okay? They check the mezuzahs. And here's the fun part. What was missing in the mezuzah? Very good. Instead of it saying velo yeh matar, it said velo matar. No matar. There was no matar. They weren't getting rain. It was missing the word Yehiyah. They switched the mezuzahs, and unbelievably, they started getting rain. They started getting crops. This story went like wildfire, or like water fire, whatever. And actually, much of the Moshav did tshuva because they were so inspired. They heard these unbelievable nays that happened, and they many of them became Balei tshuvas. Okay, so that's story number 5.
They weren't in Otef Aza.
They weren't in North of Boston. Okay. Shkoyach. Okay, so we're gonna move. We're gonna move. It's fine. Yeah, it was not. There was a kid, and he was eating, and he was not getting satisfied. He would have breakfast, still hungry. He'd have another breakfast, still hungry. Just kept eating and eating and eating and eating. And not getting satisfied. So they checked his... instead of it saying, v'achalta v'savata, it said, v'achalta v'achalta. I had a shayla on this story, which is that how come it only affected the kid and not the mom and the dad and everybody else?
It's the same shayla in other stories.
Can't ask a shayla.
Why does only one person have an eye problem, one person doesn't
have an eye problem? Exactly. Can't ask a shayla on a story. Whatever happened, happened.
Can you shrug a shayla on the
mice? It happened. What can you say? Okay. Had a Talmud whose kid was in Mayane Yeshua. So the kid was very sick. His Talmud comes to Rav Ozner. Rav Ozner is the author of Piskei Tshuvas and says, Rebbe, what do I do? What did he say? Check your mezuzahs. Okay, he checks the mezuzah once. It's perfect. He goes to another cipher. Nothing. It's perfect. So he goes to Rav Ozner himself. Rav Ozner himself checks the mezuzah and it's perfect. There's nothing. It's a beautiful script.
Yep.
So Rav Ozner says, I got to talk to the scribe. Something weird's going on. He goes to the scribe
who wrote the mezuzahs. It's odd to know who your mezuzah writer is.
He looks into it. He finds out who it is. Starts boozing with him. He says, would you get your smicha from this and that? And it's such a beautiful script. And the guy, the Sofer starts bragging. He says, you know what? These are so beautiful. I go to the mikvah before I write Hashem's name. Every time I write Hashem's name, I go to the mikvah. So he says, wow, how do you do that? It must take a lot of time. Every time you can run back and forth to the mikvah. He says, no, I'm smarter than that. I leave it all without, I write the whole thing without Hashem's name. When it comes to Hashem's name, I run, I do one mikvah dip, and then I write Hashem's name in. Which means that they're all puzzle. That all the mezuzahs were puzzle that he ever wrote. He had to pay back all the money for the mezuzahs, because you're not allowed to write them out of order for mezuzahs. And
fill in the blank.
And so, again, story number eight. If you know, how
could he have known that? I mean, here we are. He's got probably 10 times more learned than
maybe he forgot. Maybe he forgot. Yeah, just, we'll judge the guy favorably. Maybe he forgot. He probably didn't mean to do it on
purpose.
He didn't mean to do it on purpose.
So
we see the spiritual power. Even we can never know. That's why it's also important to go to a sofer you can trust, because we'll never know the spiritual power. But the mezuzah is powerful when it's done in the right way. They say many stories about Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, that he had Ruach HaKodesh when it comes to mezuzahs. He, for example, one time, they brought before him a bag of mezuzahs, and he was able to literally look at them and say, this one's kosher, this one's pasul, this one's kosher, this one's pasul. So they brought it back to the Bala, the cipher, and they told him, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu said, it's not kosher. So he said, not true. They're all kosher. They brought him to the Beis Din. They brought him to the courts,
yep.
And they developed a special way of checking the mezuzahs, and they found out exactly like Mordechai Eliyahu said, some of them were written with real cloth, and some of them were really written with a fake cloth, which is a lot cheaper, which is pasul, and they, exactly the ones where Mordechai Eliyahu said we're kosher, and exactly the ones that he said we're not kosher, because he was able to sense through his Ruach HaKodesh the Kedusha of the mezuzah. Okay, one last story, and we'll call it a day. So there was a... This story is on YouTube. It's told over by a guy named Menachem. And there we go. So look it up. It's called There Was a Great Miracle. Look it up on YouTube. So he was an eyewitness to this story. So there was a bachur in yeshiva who was a Russian boy. And his name I think, was Meir Simcha. And Meir Simcha was a Baal Tshuva on his own. He came from Russia. His family was not religious. And he started learning in a Chabad yeshiva. And he went to L.A. yeshiva. And he was a gevaldik bachur learning Torah. And then he, one day, the principal was sobbing, and the boy was falling asleep. So the principal calls him and says, Meir Simcha, you're such a good bacher. Why are you falling asleep? He says, because he can't sleep at night. Why can't he sleep at night? Because he broke his arm. He fell in the shower, he broke his arm, and he's not sleeping at night. So he understood there's a dangerous situation. He brought him to the hospital. I think it's Cedar Sinai Hospital. There we go. And they had an examination, and they realized that this kid, his entire life was in danger. He had a aggressive cancer, and it was a terrible situation, and his life was in danger. They had to immediately schedule an amputation. And this Menachem boy, it was a madrich taking care of him, and they called up his parents. His parents were furious. They sent him to Chabad Yeshiva. Now he's dying. They didn't know what to do. And what did they immediately do? They called up the Rebbe, Lubavitch Rebbe. Lubavitch Rebbe said immediately, check his tefillin. Check his tefillin, check his mezuzah. So they sent it to his tefillin to be checked a sofer in L.A., and there was nothing wrong with his tefillin. So this Menachem guy knew a special sofer. His name was Rav Shalom something in Borough Park or in Crown Heights, I think, and they sent it there. He notices things that other people don't notice, and they FedExed the tefillin to check the tefillin. Meanwhile, they flew to the Rebbe to get a bracha from the Rebbe. The Rebbe looks at this boy, and it's all on video, and he looks at him, and he gives him a new name, Chaim Meir, something like that. Chaim Meir gives him three brachas, you should have life, gives him the bracha, everything's going to be okay, flies back to have the amputation the very next day. But before they get the amputation, they get the word in from the tefillin, there was a crack in the left arm. Got to mention that his left arm was where the cancer was spread. There was a crack in the word, in the left, in the word, al yad ka, which is the left, yud dal kaf hey. There's a crack in the left arm. There's a crack in his arm. They switched the tefillin. They gave him proper tefillin to wear. The doctor's about to amputate, and they say, wait, I refuse. First, I need another x-ray. They did another x-ray, and you can probably guess, completely healed. No problems anymore. And he left. The whole thing was saved. No issues. They made a giant fabring in, And it was all through the spiritual power of the mezuzah and the tefillin. So, if you're having any issues in life, check your tefillin, check your mezuzah. And we see the spiritual power of our mitzvahs, that they protect us. And hopefully this gives us a little bit of chizuk. Bezrat Hashem. We should all have a wonderful, wonderful.